In Taylor's office, Harless tried not to cower like a whipped puppy, but was painfully aware that he was only partially successful.
We need money and we need a secure base. You promised us both, and now you can't deliver.
I can. I have the money. All I have to do is get it. I have the access code for the family Ansible at Cerealis. That's communication with anyone you want, free. I have the access code for family accounts, as well as my own. There's information, stuff Bunny's wife had, about family business and things. And the place itself has money.
You sure you have the codes?
Of course I'm sure. Bunny was my brother. I've had the code since I was in my 20s. Look, I know you're worried about pursuit, but is there really any way Fleet could get there before we do?
No.
And even if they do, you could just hide. It's a whole system.
That's why we couldn't. It's too empty. But we could make a fast passage, see if your codes work, get some money, and head out.
You won't need to. I'm telling you, I'm Bunny's brother. Everyone on the planet knows who I am. They're not going to give you any trouble.
Over the course of the next several days, Harless answered hundreds of questions about himself, his family, his fortune, and Cerealis. Taylor recorded all of it. Harless knew how that would look to his family if they got hold of the cube. He'd heard that in story cubes, the hero always managed to find some way of showing that he was being coerced. He couldn't think of anything that Taylor wouldn't recognize and punish. When they arrived at Cerealis, Taylor called him in.
We need the Ansible access code.
Harless handed it over. Taylor handed it on to one of his communications techs.
Strip the records and check our control.
Sure.
The man turned away and fiddled with controls Harless couldn't see.
Someone did think we might come here. It's a voice message from Brune Meager, warning the population Harless might show up, and then that she couldn't get Fleet to respond.
A trap?
Could be. We won't stay that long. We might as well resupply. It's an ag world, with money on it all concentrated in one place, right, Harless?
It still stung that Taylor had quit calling him Sir Thornbuckle, or even Thornbuckle.
Yes, the main banking outlet's in the home village.
Mm-hmm. Just how fancy is that house? Got a lot of things in it? Jewelry those women left behind?
I doubt it. They take it with them, or put it in the bank.
We might just take a look. Admiral Lepescu said this was a show place. Gardens, lawns, stables. You ride, don't you, Harless?
I can, yes. I'm not that fond of it.
Not that fond of it.
Captain, I can't get past the lockout. His password got us into the incoming queue, but there's a trap link on the outgoing. I can't budge it.
That might make it difficult to get your funds, might it, Harless?
Maybe it wants an ID check. Sometimes it does, and I have to go to the terminal.
Well, then I think we'll take a shuttle down and see for ourselves.
Harless felt naked without even a pea suit when the others in the shuttle wore PPUs and armor. Six of them were neuro-enhanced marines, huge and bulky in their battle armor. At their order, he called down to the shuttle field. Someone answered, he didn't know the name, and turned on the field's electronic guidance system. He couldn't see it himself. This shuttle had no windows. The hatch opened, and the scent of Cerealis rushed in, the smell taking him back to a childhood that now seemed very far away. In the midst of them, feeling small and vulnerable, Harless walked across the field, wondering why no one had come to meet them. The men looked this way and that, assessing, cataloging.
Piece of cake.
Find us transport.
But the hangars and shelters were empty. In the office, the only sign of occupation was the main control board, powered up and humming faintly.
They're playing hard to get, are they? Want to hunt?
The other men grinned, too, and nodded.
We'll see. Looks like we have to walk. Where's this bank, Harless?
The village street in early summer looked like a travel poster. The neat stone buildings, the planters full of flowers, more flowers on the vines that clambered here and there. A marmalade cat raised its head from a doorstep, then slid down and into a flower bed between cottages.
Where is everybody? They just run off in the fields?
One of the NEMs kicked open the door to the bank.
Some security.
They herded Harless inside. No one was there, but the autobank was on, just as the shuttle field power had been on. Harless entered his access codes and his credit cube and waited for the light to come on. The autobank transferred the contents of his accounts to the cube. He strained to remember Bunny's code. The bank would lock out for 2 hours if he made a mistake. But his first try worked. Bunny's account balance, however, was zero.
Get your off-world accounts.
Harless entered the complete access codes for financial Ansible transfers and waited.
Ansible access denied. Enter correct code.
They changed the codes. They changed the codes.
He backhanded Harless across the face.
And all you had here was a lousy 200,000?
Taylor jerked his head at the others.
Let's go.
I can get more. I know I can. If...
Shut him up.
One of the NEMs flipped his weapon over and tapped Harless on the shoulder.
Stuff at the house, Captain.
Knick-knacks. Probably all that's left. The sieves have run out like the rabbits they are. They'd have taken the good stuff that was easy to move, unless you'd like some nice sheets and pillowcases.
I'm happy with the ones I have, sir.
Harless looked up the street, where the top stories of the house rose above the trees that edged the gardens.
Want a last look, Harless? Think there's something worthwhile they didn't take away or locked up so you can't get at it?
Pictures, books, tableware, furniture, weapons.
Weapons?
Hunting weapons and old ones, antiques.
Antiques, right. I'm not getting blisters going up there for souvenirs.
Taylor led the way back to the shuttle. Harless looked around, hoping against hope that someone would come to rescue him. There were only 20 mutineers in the landing party. He knew the militia could muster more than that.
Can't they see I'm a prisoner?
No one came, and the NEMs shoved him back aboard the shuttle for its return journey. When they got back aboard, Taylor had two men bring Harless to the bridge.
I think this smug little world needs a lesson, as does Harless here. We're going to break a few windows, knock down a few chimneys.
He looked at Harless.
We'll start with your house, Sir Thornbuckle.
He turned to his weapons officer.
You have the coordinates. Drop one down the middle.
No, don't do that. Why destroy it?
Because I want to. Because I can.
But they didn't do anything to you.
They didn't. You did. You lied to me, and it annoyed me. And when I'm annoyed, sometimes I take it out on things.
But it's mine! It's mine! It always should have been! And besides, it's beautiful!
Not anymore.
Show us, Leon.
Up on the screen, the great house appeared, serene and lovely in its encircling gardens and lawns, glowing in the early summer morning light, as beautiful as Harless had ever seen. He could almost smell the roses. Then the missile struck. The house bulged as if swelling with outrage and was hidden in a boiling cloud of explosive debris.
Oh, good shot. So much for that one.
The expanding cloud from the first explosion obscured the view of the stable, but not the second billow, the thicker, more boiling cloud. Harless felt sick. His stomach churned. He had never liked horses that much, but he had never wished them harm either. And he could imagine the terrified animals that weren't killed at once, the shattered legs, the blood.
We got what we came for. Now that we have the money.
Lob a few more at him?
No, we might need our weapons for something else. But it makes a statement. Nobody's going to think we're playing a game.
Sir Thornbuckle seems unwell. Smithers, take him to his cabin.
Harless lay staring at the overhead, unable to sleep, his mind running the sequence over and over and over. The house, his house, gone, utterly gone, destroyed. The grand staircase, the ballroom, the fencing salon, the billiard room, the library, the morning room, the sunroom, his own suite with his personal treasures, gone. In a moment of time, a puff of smoke and surge of flame. Horror and grief and fear circled around the memory of what he'd seen. Dread furies that screamed his name.
Bunny will kill. killed me for this. But Bonnie is dead. So many are dead. So much destruction. How could I? How did I? And what can he do?
His body shivered, long, shuddering quakes, as he remembered the hard hands that had hurt him, the cold eyes that had examined him and found him soft, contemptible, the feral smiles that had delighted in his pain, in his fear, in his horror at their capacity to destroy. Lieutenant Commander Costin stood on the bridge of the RSS Fremantle and grinned at the scan display. A patrol ship, two patrol ships, or something with that mass and drive signature, had just down-jumped into the system.
Well, would you look at that? Were we expecting anything?
His exec, also a lieutenant commander, grinned.
No, sir. Some excitement at last.
Definitely.
At the angle the ships had entered, Scan had picked up their location only 8 light minutes away, with a rapidly lengthening tail aiming toward their entry point as the data streamed in.
Beacon data?
No beacons. Running hot.
And so are we.
Their orders were to prevent mutineers from reaching Athar's world. Futile orders, he'd thought, since space was far too big to barricade. But sure enough, someone had come right past his picket, and the only ships that would run without beacons were those up to no good. He reminded himself that mutiny did not make people stupid, that these ships would know every trick he did. But he had something up his sleeve. Gorgon and Matchless, plus a tactical plan designed for exactly this situation.
If they haven't got a trailing heavy cruiser, they're dead meat.
All signatures confirm fleet patrol craft. No beacon, but everything else, the weapons lit and all that...
Fine, Chris. That just makes it easier.
Costin nodded to his exec.
Put us on the plan. I'll hail them.
The hail was more for the record than anything else. Those could not be innocent merchanters out there, and only the largest private yachts had near that mass. Before his message would have had time to reach the vessels, one of them fired at him.
Good. That makes it simple. No need to wait.
Fremantle micro-jumped, halving the distance to the mutineers, then jumped again to only 5 seconds away. When they came out, the mutineers had fired a salvo at where they'd been. Fremantle micro-jumped ahead to less than a second ahead of the mutineers' computed course. Her own course, warped by the successive micro-jumps, gave only the smallest window for firing down the mutineers' throats. But this was only the first such attack. Fremantle hopped out to be replaced by Gorgon and then Matchless in a precisely timed dance that ensured they didn't hit each other with their weapons. On the screens, hit after hit ablated the mutineers' shields, degraded their ability to fight back. One of the two mutineer ships attempted to break away, micro-jumping 5 minutes out. But at that moment, the first blew, and soon the trio of loyalists had caught and destroyed the other. Costin grinned at his exec.
This'll make the Admiral happy. Now if we can just get some ID on those ships.
Arash Lavadi returned to Sector 7 HQ from the first convoy and made his report to Admiral Serrano.
Good work. I'm sure you have ideas now on training for the ships in convoy. I'd like you to brief the captains waiting for the next convoy as soon as you have them organized.
Of course, sir.
Arash explained his observations.
Have you heard the good news?
Haven't heard a thing, sir. Somebody get a mutineer ship back?
Not back, no, but Harris located the mutineer flagship, Bonar Tighe, and destroyed it. We have confirmation that Solomon Drizh, he was bumped up to Admiral Minor, just like you, was the actual spearhead.
Lavadi's stomach did a slow turn. He had avoided Drizh for years.
Apparently he was one of Lepescu's protégés that we missed, and he'd reconstituted the Loyal Order of Game Hunters.
Admiral Serrano looked sharply at him. Arash felt the sweat slicking the palms of his hands.
You did know about that, didn't you?
Harris told me.
That bastard poisoned everyone he touched. Lepescu, I mean. But apparently Drizh was just as bad.
Lavadi swallowed. He had to say it. He had to know what she knew.
I served with Admiral, then Commander Lepescu once, you know. I was pretty young.
I know. You may be the exception to the rule. You're lucky he took a dislike to you. He hated Harris, too. The youngsters he thought had promise...
The youngsters he thought had promise he invited into his circle, flattered them, taught them, urged them to become the elite, the best they could be.
He ruined them.
It's a shame.
If he was still alive, I'd strangle him myself.
Me too.
Lavati meant it. He had been so young, so naive, so willing to be flattered, so honored to be singled out by a commander already known for his dash, his fighting ability, his high standards. He had admired Lupescu, had tried to copy him, even to what he preferred in music and food.
It's amazing how many people one bad apple comes in contact with. And yet there must be others like you who are around him and not part of his coterie. And what we don't need right now is another witch hunt aimed at everyone who served under him, however far back.
I agree.
Harris seems to be doing well with old Indy. How are you getting along with Vigilance?
Fine, sir. Though I'm sure Harris's old crew would like to be with her.
Was this the time to suggest that they could transfer away?
No need to worry about that. Not with a war on. Besides, she's not coming back here. She's over at Copper Mountain, with the debris she picked up. Chances are none of it is a complete personnel list of the mutiny, but the analyst there might find something.
Copper Mountain's ours, then?
For the time being. The bad news is bad indeed. Mutineers hit a battle group over in Sector 5, blew one ship and badly damaged a cruiser. They're trying to blackmail some of the families into hiring them, the old protection racket. There have been sporadic attacks on orbital stations and even planets. We just don't have enough ships to guard everywhere, not and protect the borders. I expect any minute to hear that the Benignity has mounted an invasion. I can't think why they haven't.